Thank you, musicians. Thank you, singers, this morning. Well, today we are just so delighted to have you here on this Veterans Sunday. Before we dismiss our kids this morning, I'm going to have the kids stay in here for this, but we want to just take time to honor all of our veterans today. And we have a special video today we're going to be showing, and it's going to be playing all the music from the different armed branches of our military. And so today, if you served in one or more of these different branches, when you hear your song playing, can you stand up during that song so we can honor you today? And as people stand up today, can we just give them hand claps and ovations today? How many know that we wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for the blood, sweat, and tears and life given to fight for our freedom to be here? How many know today, if you don't believe it, despite what some people may say, I won't name any names, but despite what people may say, America is still the greatest land known today. Do you believe that? Yes, it is. And there's still some things worth fighting for today, our freedom. And today we're so thankful for all our veterans today. And as they showed this today, if you see your branch of the military being played, please stand today so we can honor you. Amen. Yeah. Honor these guys today. We do honor all of our veterans today, and we do thank you so much for all the sacrifice that you've given. And we have even people in our church who now are still being stationed. We sent off some Marines last week to be stationed in San Diego and then just returning back from the Iraq War. And so we do celebrate them. Our church has been very active in sending care packages to our military guys. And we do honor all of our veterans today. We honor you because without your sacrifice, this would not be the great nation that we have. We can so freely come and express our differences in religious freedom and continue to worship here this morning without persecution, that we can come and worship God in this place today because of the sacrifice. And we do not take that for granted. And we do say thank you one more time. We say thank you very much. Yes. Well, today I'm going to dismiss all of our kids out. So all of our elementary age kids are going to head out. Let's bless them as they go. Yeah. All of our elementary age kids, first grade through fifth grade, will be heading out to this first classroom to my left right here. Parents, they will not release them until you pick them up immediately following the service. Well, today as we look at this video on the Veterans Day, I'm reminded of courage. How many know that it takes courage to ever accomplish anything? Do you know that? Turn to your neighbor and ask them, do you have courage? How many of you got the Barney Fife syndrome? I got courage, you know. Some of you got courage, right. You know, courage is something that is so, you know, so John Wayne-like, isn't it? You know, when we think of courage, what do you think of? I mean, you just think of John Wayne. You think of some of those military movies we've watched, and we see all these great heroes, and we think about courage. No one ever wants to be called a coward. Isn't that true? Especially guys. Come on, let's be honest. No one likes to be called a coward. There's nothing, you know, I did more stupid things growing up just because I did not want to be called a coward than things I really want to admit to. Matter of fact, I'm glad I dismissed my kids out of here before telling these stories because, you know, I did some things, you know, I remember, I mean, I can go back as far as the first day of school. Remember the very first day of school as these guys were throwing rocks over the school building, the older guys, and some of the younger guys were not doing it because they didn't have a strong enough arm to get the rocks over the building. And they looked at me and they said, you know, can you do it? And I was like, can I do it? Yeah. It's kindergarten. What do you think? Yes, I can do it. And so I show off my major league arm and I grab that rock and I wind up, you know, and do my best pitcher imitation. I mean, you should have seen it. It was pretty. Just like that. Slow motion. Right through the second story window. This is the God's honest truth. Right through the second story window. My first day of school. Right, put a rock right through the second story window. And guess whose office it was? The principal's office, yes. I busted out the principal's office my first day of kindergarten. But I wasn't a coward. You know, there's a lot of things in life we want to do, but we don't want to do. We don't want to be called a coward. And, you know, when people say things like, I dare you, you know, courageous people, you know, we just don't want to be labeled as a coward. And from the time we're very young, we label our kids with this thought of not being a coward. You know, I very early on, I remember one time I dared one of my sons to do a backflip off the deck onto the trampoline, thinking they would not do it because they're too scared. And before I could turn around and stop them, they were doing it. And I was like, don't do that. Well, you dared me. I was just playing. I didn't think you would do that, you know. Well, Dad, you dared me. You know, there's something about a dare that pulls it out of you, you know, and we want to do it. And everybody wants their kids to think that we are heroes, don't we? We dads and moms, we want them to think we're heroes. My kids, when I was growing up, you know, they still are. And when they were younger, they used to say things like, you know, Dad, you can still play football like that, can't you? We watch football on TV. We're watching college and pros, and I do the same thing the rest of you guys would do. And I say, yes, I could, son. If you were playing, they'd win. And so my kids are getting a little bit smarter. My son asked me this week. He used to ask me if I was playing, would they win? My son is getting a little bit smarter, and he asked me this week. He says, Dad, he goes, if you was coaching Webb City, would they have won? Of course, I did what everybody else did. Of course, son, they would have won if I was coaching, you know. So, you know, there's something about in us. We want our kids to see us as heroes. We don't want to see us as not being cowards, but people with not fear. But we want our kids to see us as being heroes. That's just the way we are. We don't want people to see us as people of courage. And we idolize our heroes, whether it be war heroes or sports heroes or people who have done great things, from great presidents to great leaders. From Martin Luther King to Abraham Lincoln. I mean, we think of all these great people we regard as heroes in our life and who have done such incredible things of courage. And today, we're talking about this thing, as we're talking about in a series about getting out of our comfort zone. If you wonder why this chair is up here, for those of you who are listening over the internet, I'm still sitting in my recliner, because this recliner represents a place of comfort. And we're talking about moving out of our comfort zone. And we're in this series talking about getting out of our comfort zone. And how many know that it takes courage to get out of your comfort zone? Let me say that again. It takes courage to get out of your comfort zone, because there's a reason why it's comfortable, isn't it? There's a reason why we're here, because it doesn't take much courage to live right here. Matter of fact, it takes about zero courage. Matter of fact, it just takes a little bit of getting up and, you know, and sitting down, and once you're here, you're good. You know, we live in this comfort zone, and it doesn't take much to stay here. But what it takes is courage to say, you know what, I'm going to leave my comfort zone. That as a Christ follower, he has called me to what? To be a fisher of men. And he also said, those who follow me will be fishers of men. And he says, I'm sending you out as what? As sheep among wolves. And that it takes courage to leave this place of comfort and to be where God has us to be. Many of us know that God is calling us to make a difference. We've talked about that over the last few weeks, and we know that God is calling us to make a difference. God's calling you to do something you haven't done before. But in order to do that, what does it take? It takes courage. It takes courage to get up and say, you know what, I'm going to take the steps and to do this thing. I'm going to leave this place of being comfortable. I'm going to leave this place where I know is security. And some of us have spiritual security. We have physical security. We have emotional security. But whatever it is, we have the security place that we like to live in. And God is wanting to pull us out of our comfort zone and to stretch us and to grow us and to use us and to do things in our life. And it takes courage to get out of your comfort zone. So I think about courage today, and I'm thinking about some men in my life who I just really knew they had some great courage. And I produced a video about 3 years ago for a veteran service, and I want to show this short clip of this video and show you these two interviews of two guys. One of them is Earl Bay. Now, I mean, you don't know who Earl Bay. Where's Doris? Doris is in the very back. Stand up, Doris. Stand right there so I can see you. It's Doris today. She is the widow of Earl Bay, and Earl was, when I first started the church, Earl was coming to Destiny Church, and I loved Earl because he got up at 6 o'clock every morning and he prayed for me in this church. Faithfully, he got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. The first thing he did was get up and pray for our church. And many of you are sitting here today because you're on the backs of the prayers of Earl Bay, that he was here praying for our church. And he's talking about some of his war stories here. And then another friend of mine, Canon John, also, who just fought in the Iraq War. A little short interview with him. I want you to see these guys talking about courage. This video was a little bit harder to get queued up, so hopefully it works here. Let's see.
My outfit was the 70th Division. I was in the 274th Regiment. Took our basic in Camp Adair, Oregon, and then shipped to Camp Leonard Wood up here in Missouri, and then went to Boston and shipped overseas and landed in Marseille, France. Well, we fought all the way up through France and crossed the Rhine River on pontoon boats, pontoon bridges, and my story actually starts about, 60, 70 miles north of Frankfurt. One morning, the first sergeant handed me a trip ticket to go back to the ammo dump, a fuel dump, and pick up some load of fuel. Well, we got in the truck. I was the driver. We always had an assistant driver in I drove a 6x6. That was my job. We went back to the fuel depot and got our gasoline and started back, and only went a few miles when the Jeep pulled out in front of me, and a lieutenant got out on the right side of the Jeep, and a big truck was following him with a big red spot on the front, which I knew was a Red Bull, one of the Red Bull boys. And he said, "What you got there, fuel?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, we're taking it." And me being a corporal and him a first lieutenant, you don't argue with the first lieutenant. You just salute and say, "Yes, sir." And so we helped him unload the truck and put it in his truck. And I went on to the motor pool and went into my sergeant and told him what happened. And he immediately went into the company commander's office. And Captain McPolin came out and wanted to hear my story. And he said a few kind words that I won't repeat on the air. And he says, "We got to have some gas." So he told the sergeant to write me another trip ticket. And I went back the next morning and got my load of gasoline, and Patton stopped the German tanks with his tanks, and we won a great war, probably the biggest war of all times, I suppose. It was a good feeling, and I was proud that I had been a part of winning that war.
I hear people say we don't need this war, but I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. Have you forgotten all the people killed? Yes, some went down like heroes in that Pennsylvania field. Have you forgotten about our Pentagon? Carry on. Don't you tell me not to worry about Bin Laden. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten?
My name is Sergeant First Class Cannon John, and I'm the Battalion Supply Sergeant for the 203rd Engineer Battalion. My unit just recently returned from a 14-month deployment to Iraq. We were there in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. We were stationed in Baghdad for about 12 months and in Najaf for about 2 months, the following 2 months of the tour there. We supported the 1st Armored Division in their fight to control Baghdad and to squash the rebel militias and armies that continue to uprise throughout our entire time there. There is hope in Iraq, and a lot of that hope stems from the soldiers' willingness to go in and stand up and fight, regardless of the circumstances they find themselves in. You have to decide what is right. You have to have the courage to stand up and do what's right. And I think a lot of people have the wrong idea about courage. They think that courage is not having fear, and in fact, it's having fear and working through your fear to do what you must do to get the right thing done. And I think that is something we instill in every American soldier. We take a lot of pride in what we do. American soldiers are the best trained force in the entire world. We're good at what we do, and we're only good at what we do because of the people that we serve. We serve United States citizens gladly and proudly. You guys are the reason that we do what we do, and we're certainly happy and proud to serve you. It's people in churches and schools and communities all across America coming together, supporting their soldiers, that makes it all worthwhile. So thank you.
I wanted to show those videos today because these guys, hearing their stories, just when I think of courage, I automatically think of those guys on the front lines, those guys who've been there. And to hear Earl Bay talk about his story of fighting the war and having the Crip ticket, you know, his death to go get the fuel was almost like a death trap. And so him have to go and get fueled and have Patton's boys steal it from him and then come back and have to do it again back to back at a time when it was a very dangerous part of the area that he was in. And I just think of the courage as he drove to get that fuel. And after I talked to Earl much later, he single-handedly takes credit to helping Patton win the war. And so it was often a joke that we give him a hard time because he was so proud. And then, you know, all of our guys, we talk about courage today. We these guys symbolize courage. But, you know, courage is more than just what takes place on a battlefield and on a military strategic war somewhere in a different foreign soil or on American soil, wherever we take the battle at. Courage is more than just the fighting those wars, but it also takes courage to live your life every day. Do you realize that? That it takes courage every day to live your life. And today I want to talk to you about this thought just for a few minutes on living a life of courage. Living a life of courage. It takes a tremendous amount of courage every day just to face the ordinary challenges of daily life. It takes a lot of courage to do things. And we're not just talking about the courage of astronauts on Apollo 13 or thinking about Holocaust survivors, or we think about Medal of Honor winners, things like this. But it takes even more courage, not even more, but it takes courage every day just to live our life out. And today I want to talk to you about living this life of courage. Every day we're making choices. Every day those choices reveal you to be either courageous or a coward. Let me say it again. Every day the choices you make either make you courageous or they make you a coward. And far too long we have too many, let me just say this as your pastor and say, far too long we have too many Christians who are taking the coward way out. We have too many Christians who are taking the coward way out, that we're not standing for nothing. We're not being courageous in who God has made us to be. You'll never change the world by going along and with the flow and just going downstream. If you're going to change the world, you're going to have to go against the current many times in your life. And it takes guts and it takes courage to make a change that God is asking you to do. To do something courageous, it takes a lot of guts. And it takes us swimming against the current of society to make a stand what God has given you, this spirit of courage. Look what it says in Joshua 1:9. Our text today, and it says this in Joshua 1:9. Be strong. And of what? Good courage. Everybody say it again. Say courage. Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And today we know that we are to live our life this way. That God says, be strong and of good courage. So tomorrow morning when you get up, the first thing you should think of is this right here. God, your spirit is speaking to me today to what? To be strong and of good courage. When I go to bed tonight, my thoughts should be, I am to be strong and to be of good courage. For who's with me? The Lord my God is with me. And today, that is a place, when I think about it, it gives me great comfort to know, wow, God, you are on my side. God, you are right here. And it gives me a place of rest in him, a place of comfort that I really like. It's a trust in him. But also I know this, that he has given me courage not to stay right here. He has given me courage not to live my life right here in what I know is a comfortable state of being all the time. This place of fear. Well, if I stay right here, then nothing can happen to me. You know, whew. You know, we have this place of fear that we live in. That if God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he tells me to be courageous, to have good courage, that he is with us, and he is calling us to do this. Today, I want us to get real and practical and look at this living this life of courage. I want to give you some ways of living a life of courage without just running to a fiery building, without jumping off and landing on a grenade to stop from killing somebody. I'm going to talk to you about some ways to live a life of courage every day as Christians that we can do. Number one, simply this. It takes courage, and we need to do this to first by owning up to my sin. By owning up to my sin. It takes courage every day to own up to our sins in our life. John 1:8 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Today, we hate to admit our sin, don't we? I mean, there's nothing more than we like to admit when we're wrong. I mean, I have never met a person who likes to admit when they're wrong. I've met people who have worked on it and who have learned to do that, but I've never met anybody who enjoyed admitting they were wrong. Do you enjoy admitting when you're wrong? We don't, do we? It's not in our nature to admit that I've messed up. It's not in my nature to admit that I'm weak in an area of my life. But as a Christian, it takes courage to admit that I have sin in my life. It takes courage to admit that, you know what, God, I don't have it all together and my trust has got to be in you. It takes courage to stand up and to admit some things in my life. There's been grown men that I know who never in their life have had the guts to say, I'm sorry. Now, come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, my wife, you know, she knows that it's not always easy for me to say I'm sorry, and I do it. But it's not always the easy thing for me. It's like, I'm, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes it takes me a while to get it out, and sometimes I can be thick-headed, and I don't always like to admit it when I'm wrong, but it's just something about our nature. And, guys, we really have to be careful about this as men, because it's in our nature never to admit we're wrong. It's just it. It's in our nature to never admit when we're wrong. I read a story about a little girl who was in Disneyland. Her and her brother were in Disneyland, and they were in one of those crystal glass shops where they blow up, you know, they blow up the little glass sculptures, and they make them right there. And the brother picked up this sculpture, and he was looking at it, and he actually dropped it, and it shattered into, you know, 1,000 pieces right there. And he looked at her, he looked at that piece, and he did what every good man would do. He ran out the door. And, of course, she scraped it all up in her hands and walked up, and she had $5 in her pocket. And she said, I have $5, and my brother accidentally broke this. Here's the $5. And the clerk, even though it was much more, said, that's fine. Thank you very much for being so brave. You know, and she took it and patted the girl and praised her for being honest. But it's in our human nature just not to be brave, isn't it? It's in our human nature not to want to admit that we are wrong and we make a mistake. And, guys, we really got to work on this, okay? I'm speaking to all the men here. This is a message to everybody. But this point here, I'm really driving home to us men because we struggle with this more than even our wives do or the ladies here. You struggle with it at times, I know, but it's much easier for you and your nature to admit when you're wrong than it is for a man most of the time. And, guys, we have a hard time. We'll ride around the block. We'll drive around the block. We'll drive around for hours and tell our kids we are taking the scenic route rather than admit that we're lost. It's just in our human nature, isn't it? We don't want to admit that we are wrong. And we have a hard time, and even sometimes we see it penetrate into our spiritual walk with God, where we have a hard time admitting we have sin in our life. Because if I admit that I have sin in my life, what am I admitting? That I am weak, that I have failures, things I need to work on. And it's just the opposite of that hero mentality that we have as men. It's just the opposite of a hero mentality we have as parents, that we want our kids to think we're the best teacher ever. Our kids to think we're the smartest person ever. We want our kids to think we were this and that. And so all this is in us, and we have a hard time admitting that, you know what, mom messes up. You know what, dad can blow it. And it carries over even to our own spiritual walk. If we're not careful, we will carry around this attitude with God of not ever admitting the sin that we have in our life. And it's very important that we admit our sin. Look what it says. We are claimed to be without sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Wow. That's a pretty bold statement. I want the truth living in me. I want the truth of God to be alive in my heart. But it says that when I do not admit my sin, that the truth cannot live within me. Look what Proverbs 28:13 says. You'll never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. You'll never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. And I wonder how many of us try and succeed in life and we spin our wheels, and we think, if I can just buckle down and do a little bit better, you know, I can make this thing happen. I'll just grind my nose to it, and I'll get it done. We'll make it happen. And the Word of God's very clear. You'll never succeed in life if you hide your sin. And so there comes a place where you've got to learn to confess your sin to God. You confess your sin to God, and if it's a point of something that you're struggling with more than just one time, and it becomes something you really are deeply struggling with, then you need to find somebody, a friend that you can confide in and say, hey, man, I'm struggling here. This is what I'm struggling with. This is the areas I'm struggling with. This is the habits that I have that I'm struggling with. Find somebody and confess your sin. Get somebody to be accountable to and let them help you. This inability to own up to our personal sin. I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the years, and I see this as one point that has destroyed so many marriages, where no one wants to admit they're wrong. Nobody wants to admit they're wrong. Everybody wants to be right, and nobody can admit that they had problems, and that they are shortcomings in their marriage. That could be to them. It's just in our human nature, and it destroys us. It will destroy you. You never succeed in life unless you can try to hide your sins. And we can translate that to a lot of things. I'll never succeed in my marriage if I always think I'm right. I'll never succeed in life if I always say I never have a problem. I'll never succeed in my relationships. I'll never succeed on my job. I'll never succeed
in anything when I cannot admit that I am wrong. It's important that I can admit my sins to God and I can admit that I'm wrong. Even if it's only happened one time, I can still can admit that. A man has to admit that. No, we have to learn to do this, guys. And guys, we really struggle with this a lot. But we got to learn. It takes a lot of courage to do this. But we got to learn to do this. Number two is simply by standing up for what's right. How do I show courage? By admitting when I'm wrong, admitting my sin to God. But also, every day I show courage just by standing up for what is right. Look what 1 Corinthians 16:13 says. Stay true to what you believe. Be courageous. Be strong. Stand true to what you believe. Be courageous. Be strong. And I remember one time I had a man who came to me and he wanted some counseling. He was involved in an executive position in a major company in his 4-state area. And there were some things going on that were illegal that was going on in his office, and he knew about it, but it was his boss that was doing it. And so he came to me for advice and said, what do I do? It's my boss. Do I go to the man in charge and turn him in? Do I, you know, as a Christian, what is my responsibility? And we talked about it, and we basically come to the conclusion, you know, you can't, if you know about this, you're just as wrong if you don't say anything. You're just as wrong when you see the injustice going on. And so he took my advice. I was so proud. He took my advice, and he went, and he scheduled an appointment with the main person, and he said, this is what's going on. I've seen it happen. And you know what happened? How many know he got promoted? No, he got fired. Can you believe that? He went and turned in somebody else, and the other man made an excuse and wiggled his way out of it, and he got fired. And so where's the justice in that? He stood for his principles. Let me tell you, it wasn't a week later, though, he got hired by another company and started making twice as much money as he was making before. See, God honors your integrity. God will honor you even when man may speak out against you, even when you stand up for the right thing, and it seems like maybe you get some repercussions come upon you, people around you. In the long run, God will take care of you for standing up for what is right. God will take care of you for being courageous. God will take care of you for standing up and doing the right thing. We have a lack of integrity for standing up for doing the right thing in America. It's prevalent. We have a lack of that. And we've got to learn to teach our children what it means to stand up for the right things. The scripture says, stay true to what you believe, be courageous, be strong. Ezekiel says this in Ezekiel 3:18. If you don't speak out to warn the evil person to leave his evil ways, he will die in his sin. But I hold you responsible for his death. Wow, what a heavy scripture. He's saying, if you don't speak out for the person that you know is destroying himself, I'm going to hold you responsible. Now, Pastor, you're saying I'm responsible for my friend who's messing up his life? If you don't speak out against him, if you don't speak out and confront him, according to Scripture, you are. That's a pretty heavy statement, isn't it? But if I know somebody is messing up and I don't at least try to warn them, if I don't at least, it's not my job to change them. They're going to have to submit their attitude. They're going to have to change. You're not going to change them. But as a Christian, as a brother, man, we have got to learn that we've got to confront people when it's time to confront people, to learn to stand up for what's right. If you have a coworker at work that you know is having an affair and you know it's going to destroy their marriage, it's going to ruin their children, you have a responsibility to say, hey, what are you doing to your family? What are you doing to your children? Get a little spiritual guts and stand up for what is right. When you got a, guys, you know, you have friends at work who are always gone from home, who never spend any time with their children. You have a right to say, hey, listen, dude, you are blowing it. Your kids are growing up right before your eyes, and you don't even spend any time with them. You have a responsibility to confront them. Girls, you have a responsibility to confront those ladies in your life, people that you know who are ruining their life. And you cannot change them. It'll take God to change them, but we have a responsibility to say, hey, listen, what you're doing. Now, I don't go beat them over the head. How do I do it? I love on them, man. I love people, and people will listen to you when you love them. I don't change people with my words. I change people with my actions, right? My actions speak love. My actions speak that God loves you and I love you. But I've got to be concerned for what they are doing. And if I know them, if they're a friend of mine, I'm held accountable to God for what I don't and do say. Well, that's a big thing, isn't it? That's a lot of responsibility that we carry. But it's something that takes courage to do. Now, the comfortable person sits right here and says this, you know what? They're probably going to ruin their marriage, but I ain't getting involved. They're probably going to lose their job, but I'm not getting involved. It's not my place. A coward stays right here. A coward would stay right here. But it takes someone who says, you know what? I need to talk to you. Can we go to lunch? Man, I see what's going on in your life, and I'm telling you it's because I love you. Man, you've got to change your ways, or it's going to cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Now, they're going to have to make a decision on their own to choose your words, to heed to your words. But once I do that, then I can release that thing to God. Say, all right, God, I've spoken what you've asked me to do. Now I release them to you. But it takes courage to live our life that way, to confront people when they're messing up their lives. Love cares enough to confront. Let me say it again. Love cares enough to confront. It's love. If I pulled up to my house and my house was on fire and my kids were inside, you know what would stop me from going in and bringing them out of that fire? Nothing. Nothing. I would die trying to rescue my family. I would die. I would do whatever it took to get in there. I would do whatever it took. Why? Because I love them so much. How many of us today walk around with people who are in a spiritual hell, that their home is on fire, and we do nothing? We do nothing to try to reach them. Oh, we love them, don't we? We say that with our words, but what do our actions speak? What do our actions speak? How many people do we confront and say, you know what, I love you enough, I'm coming into the fire to try to pull you out? How many people do we love enough to do that? It takes courage to do that. It takes courage. You got to leave that comfort zone to be that kind of person. It takes a lot of courage to make those stands, to confront people. So where do you get the kind of courage to do that? Tell me those front row there. Where do you get this kind of courage? Anybody here hungry this morning? How many of you, it's getting bit lunchtime and you really are getting hungry already? Anybody getting hungry? Anybody like fruit? We got a pregnant woman over here who really needs a banana, so let's get. That's right, she needs a banana really bad. Anybody else here hungry today? Anybody else hungry? Catch you on the back row? Oh, there you go. We got banana pudding back there now, okay? How many know what this is? Everybody say banana. If you don't know how to say that in Spanish, let me translate it to you in Spanish. Banana. Banana. Banana and banana, okay? I used to have those tapes and teaching me Spanish I would listen to, and I always cracked up banana because it would go, it'd always tell you the English word and then the Spanish word. It would say, banana, 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 banana. So this is a banana, banana, okay? Now you know. Let me read the scripture to you in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says this. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. Let me read that again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. So today, I had this banana, and I got a really important question to ask you. Now, Justin, you're a smart guy, so I'm going to ask you this question. If I peel open this banana, what am I going to find inside? A banana. Good job. Man, you passed the test. Man, the pressure's on. How many know if I peel back this banana, I'm going to find an orange inside here? No. If I peel back this banana, am I going to find an apple in here? No. What am I going to find inside of a banana? A banana. This is not rocket science, right? If I peel back and look what's inside, why am I going to find a banana inside a banana? Because God created a banana to be a banana. Now, this is really, really deep, isn't it? You guys are really learning something. All right, Pastor. Okay, what are you getting to today? So if I realize that if I open up a banana and peel a banana, that I'm going to find what God created to be inside there, a banana, then he says in 2 Timothy 1:7, let's read it again. For God has not given me a spirit of what? Fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So as a Christian today, that when I peel back and look inside, where do I find the courage to do what God's called me to do? It's inside me. I was created with courage. You were created with courage. I was not created with fear. I was not created to live my life in fear. Just like a banana was not created to be an orange, you were not created to live in fear. You were created to live in power and courage. But it's not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of courage in your life. And so where do I find the courage to do what I need to do every day? It's inside you. God has already created it in you. It's up to you to peel it back and to operate and to walk in it. It's inside us. And the last thing today, the last thing in closing is this. When you have courage, you got to learn to speak up for Christ. It takes courage to speak up for Christ, doesn't it? It takes a lot of courage to speak up for Christ. You know, in today's society, we're always so worried about being so politically correct. And it's taken over so much that even as Christians now, we are so careful what we say about our Christian faith. We've allowed this secular humanism thinking to come in. And, you know, and I'm not here to say that it was not needed. There needs to be political correctness in certain areas of our culture. But we've allowed it to overflow to the extreme so much that we have found it even overflow into the Christian life where we are so afraid to stand up for what's right and to stand up for Christ that we don't want to be so, quote, politically incorrect if we do. It's not kosher. It's not good. So I'll just stay right here because I don't want to cause any waves. I don't want, you know, I just need to keep my faith to myself. Where in Scripture do you see where you and I were ever called to keep our faith to ourselves? We see just the opposite. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 1, 7 and 8. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but to be bold and loving and sensible. So don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master. Let me say it again. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but be bold. There it is, that word bold. Be bold and loving. See how the two go hand to hand together. I'm going to be bold and loving and sensible. So don't be embarrassed to speak up for your master. So am I being bold and loving and sensible when I get on the corner and I scream and I holler at people as they walk by, you're going to hell, and I beat them in the head with my Bible? Repent for the kingdom of God and hit them in the head. I'm being bold, but I'm not being very sensible and very lovable, am I? So see how they go hand to hand, but there is a spirit of courage that God says, I am not to be shy, but I'm to use common sense, be sensible, and I'm also what? To be lovable when I do it. And so that means that I have to leave my comfort zone and get out and say, all right, God, I'm getting some courage here. You know what? Wow. Let me tell you this. Some things I need to tell you about my faith. I need to make a stand. I hear you using God's name in vain in this office all the time. And I just want you to know that really offends me. Because my scripture teaches me that we're not to use the Lord's name in vain. And so I really appreciate it if you wouldn't use God's name in vain around me. Did I do that in a hard way? I'm just giving you one example. But, you know, so many times we need to stand up for the right thing. And I would tell you that probably more than any other thing in my dad's Christian walk that it really stuck with me was this, his ability to stand up for some of these things. And many times when I was a kid, it would embarrass me because I was like, Dad, you're embarrassing me, please, you know. But it made a lasting impact on me that I knew that he was going to stand up for the right thing. And my dad was a very passive guy. He was not a very aggressive guy. He was very passive. But if somebody began to speak in a negative way about the Lord, if somebody began to use the Lord's name in vain around me and the kids, you would see this 5'8", you know, he wasn't a very big man, get up, and he was right there and said, hey, I have kids right here. And if they started cussing louder, you know what he'd do? He said, well, hallelujah, right back at him. The louder, I was like, Dad, you know, it was embarrassing me. And I don't know if you always did it right, but I'll tell you this one thing, it made a lasting impression on me. That my dad was going to stand up, You know what? I want my kids to know that I'm going to stand up for what's right, and I'm going to stand up for God. We've got to let our children know that there comes a time that you have to speak out for Christ. It doesn't mean that I go to radical extremes. It means with love and sensibility that I stand up for the right things according to Scripture, according to what Christ has for me to be. Do you know enough to say that Jesus Christ loves you and God made you for a purpose? Oh, Pastor, I don't have courage. I don't know what to say. Simply, do you know enough to say that Jesus loves you and you are created for a purpose? Scripture teaches us to always be ready to give an account for the hope inside of us. What's he talking about? That every one of us, we have a testimony. Every one of us have a testimony. Do you realize that? If you're here today and you're a Christian, you have a testimony. And maybe you can't get up and preach an outline message. And maybe that would just totally mess you up to think that you had to get up and speak in front of people and give a message. But every one of us should be able to give the message inside our heart how God has changed our life. Every one of us have a testimony. If I go around the room today and listen to your testimony, every one of us has a testimony. And this should be a very easy thing for us to do, to say, you know what? Let me tell you how God has changed my life. Let me tell you about the love of God in my life. Let me tell you about God's grace in my life. Let me tell you how God has changed my life. Every one of us possess that kind of thing inside of us, and it takes courage to use it. But I've got to learn to speak up for Christ. I've got to learn to do this. How many know that people don't need your knowledge? They need our love. People don't need our knowledge. They need our love. And when I speak up for Christ, they just don't want to know that God loves them. They need to see it in my life. That as I'm talking to people about this thing, and I'm talking about speaking up for Christ, it's going to do you no good to speak up for him if you don't live it with your words, with your actions, with your words. And we talked about this a few weeks ago as I talked about learning to fish and to be the kind of fisherman that God called us to be. We looked at his example, but this is very true right here at this point, that people do not want to follow you. They don't want to listen to what you say to know that you care. They don't want your knowledge. They want to know that you love them, that you care for them. And then it will lead them to accepting the words that you say. It takes courage to leave your comfort zone. It takes courage to be the man that God's calling you to be, the woman that God's calling you to be. Every day we see courage lived out in war zones, and our heroes and people are talked about and idolized about. But it takes courage just to live your life every day as a Christian. It takes courage. If we're not careful, we'll live our life right here, never getting out of our comfort zone. And knowing this, that God never created you to live right there. But he created inside you the spirit of power, spirit of courage that would get out and make a difference in your world, that would make a stand for when you need to make a stand for what's right, that would not allow injustice to be done. When you see prejudice taking place in your workplace, you stand up for it and you say, this is not right. When you see people being belittled when you know you shouldn't. If you're in high school today, and junior high students, when you see people making fun of and picking on people in your class, in your lunchroom, in your PE classroom, don't just laugh and jump in. You stand up and say, leave them alone. Do the right thing. Stand up. Being a Christian means you'll stand up. And maybe people will say, well, are you the defender? And you say, no. But you know what? Enough's enough. Leave them alone. Stand up for the right thing. Let God use your courage that he's given inside you. Be strong of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's bow our heads. Today, every head bowed and every eye closed. It takes courage to admit our sins in our life and admit when we're wrong. And before we go any further today, I want to ask you this today. Maybe you're here and see Pastor Gene, as you're speaking, I realize today that I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never had the courage to do that before, but today as you're talking, I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. I want to ask him to be Lord of my life. I want to give him everything I am today, and I just want to learn to live for him. I want to know beyond a shadow of doubt that if I die, that I'm going to heaven, to spend eternity with him. And maybe you're here today, you've never prayed that prayer before, but today you want to pray that prayer. Or maybe you're here today and you prayed that prayer at one time in your life, but you find yourself so far away from God, living so far away from him today. And today you say, Pastor, I want to come back and just recommit myself to that commitment that I made before. I want to learn to live for God again. If you're here today and you want to ask Jesus Christ into your heart today, can you just raise your hand and say, it's me, Pastor? I want to make that prayer. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else today say, it's me? Anybody else want to join these people? What great courage they are today, raising their hands. I'm going to pray for these people first before we do anything else. So I'm going to ask you today, if you raised your hand, I want you to pray after me. And if we'd like for everybody here today, if we can just do it, let's all repeat after me today. Okay, let's do this. Pray this prayer. Father, say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you my heart. I confess you as Lord. I give you everything I want to be. I will follow after you. Change me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For those of you who raised your hand today and you prayed that prayer, we want to welcome you to the family of God. Can we just give them a hand clap? Yes, we had a couple of people who did that. Today, when you leave, we have a special packet for you in the very back of the white door. Gina will be back there in the very back, and she'll pass those out to you. Just some special information to give to you and some material from us to you to tell you what do you do next and to help you get started in your Christian walk today. Second question I have for you today is this. How many today will raise your hand and say, Pastor, as you're talking about courage, I realize that I need to leave my comfort zone, and I want God to give me a spirit of courage. I want to learn to walk in the courage that the Holy Spirit has for me every day. If that's you, God was speaking to you, can you raise your hand and say, yes, that's me? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, silver hands. Say, Pastor, God's speaking to me today about living my life with more courage. I'm going to quit pulling back my banana and finding an apple of fear. But I'm going to see the way God's created me and know that He has put inside me a spirit of courage. Thank you for raising your hands today. I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray a closing prayer over you, especially those who raised their hands today. I believe today that God is going to do something in your life as you're making a commitment to leave this comfort zone and say, with the courage of the Holy Spirit today, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to confront things in my life. I'm going to confront some people in my life I need to. I'm going to admit some mistakes I've made. Some of you need to go home today. You need to admit some things you've had, hard feelings toward a spouse and or maybe toward someone in your family. It's been eating at you and you just have refused to admit you're wrong. And maybe today you need to go and you need to admit to that spouse that you were wrong. Admit your part for being wrong. It takes courage to do that. Some of you need to go home and to apologize to your kids for the mistakes you've made and you refuse to be weak enough to say that in your heart. You thought you was too weak. Some of you need to go home and apologize to your kids and say, Dad was wrong. Mom was wrong. Some of us here today, we need to confront some people in our life who we know are just destroying their self with the things they're doing. Family members, and we haven't had the courage to confront them and just out of love let them know what they're doing and that we love them. Whatever it is today that God is giving you the courage to do, I know today as you raise your hand that God is going to give you a supernatural courage. I believe that today. So I'm going to close out in prayer. Father, I thank you today, God, that your word is so clear that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of courage. And Father, I just pray for every hand that was raised today that said, God, they want to walk in the new anointing of courage in their life. God, it takes courage just to raise your hands. And God, many of them today took that first step just by raising their hand and saying, God, they need more courage in their life. I pray to Father that you stretch them out of their comfort zone. And by the anointing of your Holy Spirit today, may you empower them, the God-given spirit you have put inside them, God, to come alive, that courage would rule their heart. That courage, Father, would rule their heart, God, today. Giving them the power, Lord, to admit their mistakes, to admit their sin to you and to those they've hurt. Lord, to confront evil, to confront sin, to confront those who are destroying their lives, and to make a stand for the right things, Lord. When other people are falling with the crowd, when other people are doing things we know are wrong according to Scripture, to God, we don't have to just go with them, but God, we can make a stand for you. That takes courage. That we don't have to talk like everybody else at our job, at our school. We don't have to dress like everybody else. We don't have to do like everybody else does, but God, we can make a stand for the things that are right that you convict our hearts to do. And God, we thank you today that you have given us a spirit of courage. We're going to walk in that. We're going to rest in that today, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you today. Shake your hand before you leave. Hug a neck before you leave. You guys have a great week. Yes.